Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and we find our way to Isaiah chapter number 35. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 35. We've been exploring together this wonderful book of the Bible, the book of Isaiah, and just going with it bit by bit, trying to explore this wonderful book. Now remember, the book of Isaiah puts a great emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it speaks about his first coming. That's where Jesus came, robed in flesh and dwelt among us, and that he lived among us for 33 years, died upon the cross, and then he ascended to heaven forevermore. And then the book of Isaiah puts an emphasis on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, that same Jesus, literal Jesus, that physical Jesus, is going to come back bodily on this earth, and he is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And the Bible places much about this period of time that we often call the millennial kingdom. Now remember, very little is said about eternity future, what we would often call heaven. But the Bible puts a great emphasis on the millennial kingdom because this is something we can understand and relate to, even though it is going to be a bit different than the world we live in now. The book of Isaiah chapter 35 is one of those passages that walks through what the millennial kingdom is going to be like. And so if you don't mind, let's look at it together. The book of Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Isaiah 35 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. It shall bloom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given it, and the excellency of Carmel and in Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man be leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty lands springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Isaiah chapter 35? Isaiah 35 and verse 10, "They shall obtain joy and gladness." They shall obtain joy and gladness. And what a wonderful description of the millennial kingdom, of what it will be like. If you were to put the millennial kingdom in its description, the conditions of the earth during the millennial kingdom, you could say it like this: they obtained joy and gladness. And with the Lord's help, we're going to explain and explore some of the conditions. What is the millennial kingdom going to be like? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, to be able to follow after you and to be able to see what you have store for us. Lord, I'm asking that you would grab us the attentions of the hearts that's in the room and that they can see you. They could see you high, holy, and lifted up. They could see you in your glory and your majesty, your graciousness and your power. Lord, let it be all about you. Lord, I'm very conscious that I have no ability of myself. My voice is giving out. My health is giving out. My mind is giving out. But Lord, you could take this old, feeble, broken down vessel and still get your work accomplished tonight. And so, Lord, we're counting on you. We're depending upon you. And we could pray this in the precious name of Jesus, believing that you want to get something done. Lord, these good folks came here. Don't let them go away empty-handed. Don't let them go away hungry. Don't let them go away disappointed. Let them go away saying, what a great God. And let us rejoice in what you have planned for us. Thank you, Lord, that we could trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, chapter 35 is speaking about the millennial kingdom. And in fact, the passage actually ties in to the last chapter where we had covered. Remember in chapter 34 and verse 16, it says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Then it says, and none of these shall fail. What is it talking about? It's talking about the prophecies, that God had given prophecies, and he had given lots of prophecies, and they will come to pass. Chapter 34 and verse number 17, he goes on and begins to transition to the millennial kingdom and saying that he's got promises for them. And then in chapter 35, he begins to describe this wonderful place where the Hebrew people are promised, and we as New Testament saints who have accepted Jesus as the Savior also get to go there. That we're thankful that we get to be a part of this. Each verse emphasizes God's removal of the curse and God's changing of the land and how it's going to be completely different. We know the world that we live in right now, it's awful. There's a lot of things wrong with this world, and a lot of it, most of it, is because of sin. That sin has cursed this world. And we live in a sin-cursed world. Have you ever stopped to think? This is not the world that God wanted us to live in. This is not the world that God intended us to live in. He intended us to live in something a lot better. Well, when it's all said and done, God is going to restore the world to how he intended us to live, and we're going to be able to enjoy it in a period of time we call the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years. If you don't mind, let's just walk through this passage and let's see some of the things that God is going to do, the conditions of the world during this millennial kingdom. Notice that first of all, God shall restore Garden of Eden conditions. God shall restore Garden of Eden conditions. Now, the Garden of Eden is something that God had made at the very beginning of the world for man to dwell in. And he intended and wanted it to man to dwell in there forever. But man, because of a sin, ruined the whole thing. And now we have a world that's messed up. But one day God is going to restore those conditions. Notice as he alludes to it in verse number 1. It says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. So here it speaks about the curse is going to be removed. That the desert, if you're not familiar, a desert is a place where it doesn't rain much. And it's going to bloom like a rose. There's going to be a place where the desert is going to become an oasis. And it's going to be that way all throughout the world. And the people are going to rejoice and glad. Creation will rejoice and glad. We know that the Bible specifically talks about the Garden of Eden being restored in Ezekiel 36, 35. You don't have to turn there. Let me read it for you. It just says that he's going to make the desolate land like the Garden of Eden. So maybe we should ask ourselves, what does it mean to be restored? What was the Garden of Eden like? What was the curse that was placed upon here? Well, hold your finger here and let's just look. Look with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. The book of Genesis in chapter number 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we find the sin of man, the fall of man, that God had made a perfect world. And in this perfect world, there was one rule. That's it. Some of you would like to have only one rule. One rule. That you could eat out of all of these trees, but this one here, that's God's. Well, you said, well, is it going to poison me if I eat it? Nope. Well, is it going to make me sick? Nope. Well, is it bad? Does it taste sticky? No, it tastes really good. Well, then why can't I have it? Because it's not yours. God said you can have all the rest of them. Instead of looking at what you can't have, look at all that you can have. By the way, that's exactly what sin does. That's what our evil nature does, is that we always look at the negative. We always look at what we can't have rather than all the blessings that God gave to us. If you could forgive a weak illustration, when Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Israel, was presumed dead, remember they had framed him and they had taken his coat. And what happened is that Jacob mourned and mourned and mourned and mourned, and he couldn't get snapped out of it. And you know what happened is that he had 11 sons that were alive. You know what? Praise the Lord for the 11 sons that were alive. Praise the Lord that he had sons that were living, but he didn't enjoy them. He missed out on them. By the way, it ruined their lives because of the one that wasn't there. Because he couldn't have the one, he couldn't enjoy all the rest of the benefits. Isn't that just like us? That we can't enjoy our life because there's one thing that's wrong, and now it ruined the whole thing. Hey, we're focused on that one thing. That's how easy our lives can be messed up. And so, the rules were, you could have all of this, just leave this one alone. That one's God's. Nothing wrong with it, other than God said, don't do it. And they lived that way for a while until one day, Eve was tempted by the serpent to take the fruit. She took and ate and then gave to her husband, and he did take and eat. And when that happened, they disobeyed God. There's going to be consequences. Notice that there are three main consequences that are going to affect the world we live in. Consequence number one, notice with me if you don't mind, as we look at Genesis chapter 3, notice with me in verse number 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shall thy go, and dust shall thou eat for the rest of thy days. We know that this is a specific curse upon Satan. However, the curse is going to fall upon all animals. Do you know, up to this time, you could have dinosaurs living next to sheep? And the dinosaurs wouldn't eat the sheep. You know, back in those days, you could have a pet dinosaur and your kids could ride a dinosaur. And it would be all right. You wouldn't be worried about it. After that, that's not going to happen. You're not going to let your kid ride a dinosaur because you'd minus a kid. You're like, there's no such thing as dinosaurs. Oh yeah, dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible. They were alive at that time. They lived with man. You know, before that time, there was no such thing as being bitten by a dog. Now you got those little ankle biters that just want to just tear into you all the time. Do you know that before this time, you could go to Leo the lion and puff up his mane and use him as a blanket and it'd be all right? But now, you don't want to mess with a lion. Lions are killers. Do you know that before that time, you wouldn't have to worry about a black bear when you see a black bear? We go up to camp, and up at camp, sometimes there's bears, and they have to give warnings. Don't do this with the food, or the bears will come, because bears are real. We don't want the bears in the camp. People are afraid of bears. Do you know, it's going to be a shock, before the fall of man and the curse, people weren't afraid of spiders. There was no reason to fear those creepy, crawly critters. Wouldn't that be a different world? That we wouldn't have to hear girls shrieking, there's a spider! Or worse yet, some guy, there's a spider. You wouldn't have to worry about that because God had made the Garden of Eden to be a place where there would be joy and gladness. You wouldn't have to reason to fear animals. But because of sin entering into the world, there was a curse upon the animals. One day that curse will be removed, but not now. There's a curse upon the animals. And we have a problem. We could domesticate some animals, but let me tell you, animals still bring fear. You're like, nuh-uh. Well, look at a rattlesnake and get face to face and see how well that goes. There's reasons why we fear animals. Because that's part of the curse, part of the consequences of us disobeying God. What's another curse that came? Well, notice in verse 17, Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wert taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see, another curse that came was a curse upon the ground. Now, some people will mistakenly say that part of the curse is work. No, God created us to work. You know, the very first thing that God told Adam is, you got a job. Your job is to be a shepherd, to be a steward over the garden. That's your job, to tend over it, to be a shepherd. So work is not the curse. But the curse is now work is going to be hard. You're going to sweat. By the way, notice what it also says, verse 17. It says, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground, notice this, for thy sake. Do you know that part of the curse is because it's good for us? We need hard work. God created us to hard work. Don't shy away from hard work. God created it because he knew we needed to be busy. If we're not busy, we get in lots of trouble. Your mind starts wandering. You know, there's an old wives' tale of that idle hands is a devil's workshop. God had created work for good. But as part of the consequence, now work is going to be hard. The ground is no longer going to be as plentiful. We're going to have to work for it. Ask any farmer how hard work is. You got to take care of the ground and you've got to work at it and the conditions have got to be right and there's still no guarantee of a good crop. It's hard work. For those of you who grow a garden, can you imagine what it would be like if you didn't have to weed the garden? That's the one thing why I don't have a garden. That's hard work to go in there and to keep that thing weeded. And then the bugs start crawling in it. And heaven forbid Thumper make his way into her. It's hard work just to get some vegetables. Work is hard. By the way, it's for our sake. But God cursed the ground. He made it so it's going to be hard work. And that's part of the curse. You know what that means? That God's going to remove the curse. Does that mean that in the millennial kingdom we're not going to work? No, we're still going to work. It's just not going to be as hard. It's a different type. We get to enjoy the work. The work is not going to fight against us so much. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you didn't have to fight so much at work? Amen. With bosses, with employees, with customers, with just everything. With the supply people who don't give you the supplies that you need. Amen. With the mechanics to keep if everything worked well, work would be great. But when's the last time everything went perfect for like a full week at work? Where all the customers were nice. The bosses were never in a bad mood. All the schedules were correct. Wouldn't that be nice? One day, God's going to remove the curse. And things are going to work the way that it should. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There's another curse that was given at this time. Notice if you don't mind. Verse number 24. So he, that's God, drove out man, and he placed to the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What he did is that the third curse was that man was removed from God's presence. You know, before that time, Adam could walk with God anytime he wanted. By the way, that was Jesus robed in flesh that he was walking with. He could have fellowship and walk with him anytime he wanted. But sin got in the way. Stupid sin. And sin keeps us separated from God. Even after salvation, the reason why we're not close to God is because sin in our life. It makes us hard to pray, hard to talk with him, hard to want to be in his presence. Sin keeps us away from God. But one day in the millennial kingdom, when we get a brand new redeemed body, we won't sin against God anymore, and his presence will be with us all the time. That this is going to be a place of rejoicing. And with all of the curses removed, we have a lot of reason to rejoice. And so we could see that God is going to restart and bring it back to Garden of Eden conditions. In fact, notice with me, if you don't mind, also going back to Isaiah 35, notice with me verse 7. And the parched ground shall become as a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons. Remember, dragons is the Bible word for dinosaur, where each lay and shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Again, verse 7 is putting a picture that God is going to restore the land, and that the land is we're no longer going to have places where things won't grow. But instead, God's going to put his blessing upon the whole world, and it'll be a beautiful place once again. By the way, perfect temperature. You don't have to worry about cold or being too hot. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't have to worry about what conditions you may have. You don't have to worry about hurricanes, storms, tornadoes. You don't have to worry about hailstorms, windstorms. God is going to make it to perfect conditions. Oh, no wonder it's a wonderful place to go. As we explore Isaiah 35, we also see more conditions that it's a place of rejoicing. It's a place of rejoicing. Notice with me in verse number 2. It says, and it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, for they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Verse number 2 tells us very clearly there's going to be singing there. Some of you who aren't liking singing, you might as well get practicing, because that's going to be what you're going to be doing a whole lot. God's going to restore our voices. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have a deep voice, get my bass voice instead of my soprano, whatever I have now. God is going to make it so we could sing, and it's going to be lovely, and we're going to want to sing. Why? Why would we want to sing? Because God is there. The excellency of our God. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. When we are able to see our God, the God who saved us, the God who loved us, our response is we want to sing to him. We want to rejoice to him. We want to praise him. We want to worship him in song because of a great God. Notice with me in verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come with Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The millennial kingdom, because of God's nature, because of his presence, because he's healed the land, because of the wonderful conditions, it is going to be a place of joy. Some of us are looking forward to that, because right now we have the sorrow and sighing. Now we have the aches and pains. Now we have the heartbreaks. But one day we're going to get to the place where it's going to be joy. Could you imagine? Some of you, very hard to imagine 1,000 years of you being happy. You won't be grumpy anymore. Some of you can barely go a couple hours without being grumpy. But God is going to make it for 1,000 years. We are going to rejoice. We're going to sing. We're going to be glad that we're there. We're going to be thankful. Oh, the Bible speaks so much in the book of Isaiah about this. Maybe I could just read you a verse. Isaiah 14:7 says, "The whole world is at rest and quiet, and they shall break forth singing." Oh, isn't that wonderful that we could look forward to it? That we could look to our God, and that every struggle has been replaced by joy and goodness because of His presence. It's going to be a place of rejoicing. In the millennial kingdom, we see something else. It'll be a place of peace. It'll be a place of peace. Notice with me in verse number 3. "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." The idea of weak hands is that there's no longer strength. The idea of feeble means that there's no longer strength. The weak knees, it no longer wants to carry my weight. My hands, I can no longer carry things. I'm not strong anymore. The Bible says I'm going to be strengthened. Notice in verse 4, "Say unto them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not." Why? "Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even the God of recompense, and He will come and save you." Now remember, the context of this is preparing Hezekiah and the rest of them for the Assyrian army to surround them. And he's trying to say that it may look fearful now, but God has promises for you. And that in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be no more enemies to threaten the Hebrew people. There's going to be no more enemies that want to fight. No more world wars. Isaiah 2:4 says, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, neither shall they learn war anymore." Wouldn't that be a wonderful time where people get along? I know there's many parents who look at their kids and say, "Listen, I'm looking forward to the time where you get along. You're no longer fighting with each other. You're no longer squabbling with each other. God promised you there's going to be a time, not now, but there's going to be a time where we're not going to be at war with nations." We know that we're in a scary time. Currently, present tense right now, there's a Baptist pastor being a missionary on the field who was kidnapped by gunpoint, pulled out of a car in front of his family and kids, and now is being ransomed. His life is in danger. He just wanted to be a missionary. He just wanted to serve the Lord, and his life is threatened. Every time we turn on the TV, there's violence. Every time we turn on the TV, there's threatenings of war. Every time we turn in the TV, there's a threat against the Hebrew people. We live in a fearful place. Do you know in all of human history, if I remember the number right, all of 4,000 years of human written history since the flood, there's only been 7 years where there's been no recorded war. We live in a fearful world, not of peace. People fighting each other all the time. You just turn on the news and see people fight with each other. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the millennial kingdom when you turn on the news? No fighting. No bad reports. Nobody against and trying to stir up trouble against others. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A time of peace where every creature and every heart will experience peace and joy and gladness. Isn't that a wonderful place? It is something we get to look forward to because of the promises of God. It'll be a place of peace and safety. In fact, notice with me in verse 9, not just with people, but verse 9, "No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." And it's talking about a path that is going straight up to God's capital of Jerusalem and going straight up to the mountain where Jesus is there. And while you're going there, you don't have to worry about lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You don't have to worry about the beast that may try to attack you. Could you imagine? I know that Green Bay is not the bad city, but just imagine going through Chicago in the middle of the night and walking and having no fear. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Don't have to worry about being mugged, being worried about your car tires being taken, your car being taken. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you wouldn't have to worry about bad things happening? Just traveling, just all the things that can happen because of people, because of animals. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you didn't have to worry about mosquitoes attacking you? Some of you wouldn't do good at a forest at night because of all the sounds. You're afraid that some crickets are going to come and eat you. You're afraid that the noises out there, oh, you hear a baying. Is that a wolf? Is that a coyote? Is it a dog? Is it some little cat? What's making the sound? You're not going to have to worry about animals out there. It's going to be a time of peace that even animals will be at peace. There's other passages where the lion will lay down with the lamb. That the little kid is going to play with a poisonous snake. Good snakey. That you're going to be able to have a bear right next to a baby lamb. And nothing will happen. Having the kid leading around a dinosaur. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'll be a time of peace. You're not going to hear about animal attacks. It sounds like a wonderful place. What else is the millennial kingdom going to be like? Here's something I am looking forward to at this specific time. It'll be a time of healing. It'll be a time of healing. Notice with me verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. Amen. You know you're not going to need glasses in the millennial kingdom. Amen. You're not going to need contacts, LASIK surgery, corrective lenses. God is going to be able to heal the infirmities. It says the ears of the deaf will be stopped. That means, guys, your selective hearing. You can't use that as an excuse anymore. No more hearing aids. No more, huh, I didn't hear that. We're going to have restored, but it goes beyond that. Verse number 6, and the lame man shall leap as a hart. A hart is a type of deer. I know some of you'd be really scared if I try to dance around like a little baby deer right now. I would be scared because it would be one jump and I wouldn't move anymore. I'm looking forward to having a brand new redeemed body where I'm going to be healed. I haven't had a day without pain in 25 years. I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like not to hurt. Not to feel like I'm Rice Krispies in the morning when I wake up and I snap, crackle, and pop. When I don't hurt when I sit down too long. When some of you, we could do races trying to get up from the chair, kind of, oh, come on, I won, all right. Oh. I remember another place where I pastored, we actually had people in their little scooters doing races in the church, just, you know. You're not going to need crutches. It's a place where you heal. Some of you have genetic things. Some of you have heart things. Some of you have internal things that will be healed. Isn't it a place where if something did happen to you, you broke your arm, it would heal overnight? That'd be wonderful. Notice again in verse number 6, and the lame shall man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Some of you, that needs to be your verse right there. One day you're going to be able to sing. Right now your tongue gets in the way. You try to sing and it goes, ah, and your tongue just won't make the right sounds. One day you're going to be able to sing. One day that's going to be taken care of. Oh, isn't that wonderful that we're all going to be able to sing? There are some people who just don't have the voice. Maybe someone who had throat cancer. Someone who has one of those voice boxes. Hello, I am glad to see you. Do they even have those things anymore? Okay, cool. For some reason, kids think it's cool, but people who have them don't. I know a preacher, a well-known preacher, who had voice box cancer, larynx cancer. Here's a preacher now who can't speak at all. That's rough, but that's going to be healed one day. All the infirmities, all the things that you live with, one day it's going to be fixed. There's no diabetes there. I'm sure there's still going to be chocolate. Some people said, well, that's what makes it heaven. No. No diabetes. No bad cholesterol levels. Aren't you glad for all of that? Something you can look forward. You're not going to need blood transfusions. You're not going to need IVs. God is going to be able to, that's something to look forward to. 1,000 years. No wonder there's rejoicing. Oh, God is going to restore it. Isaiah 33:24 says, the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. That this healing is going to reach every need. And God is going to have power over disease, and we are going to be. Isn't it a wonderful place? Something we could look forward to? There's one more thing I want to show you, if you don't mind. That this is going to be a place of holiness. A place of holiness. Notice with me in verse number 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not go therein. The millennial kingdom is going to be marked by a time of righteousness, a time of purity, a time of holiness, a time of righteousness, a time where we're setting ourselves apart to God to live for Him and be glad over it. It's going to be a time where I'm no longer going to sin against God. I'm tired of sinning against God. I'm tired of failing Him. And in this place, I'm not going to be able to sin with my brand new redeemed body. And God is preparing these people to live in holiness. By the way, our preparation time is now. Now's the time to start practicing for that holy living because He has plans for us. And this is going to be a pathway. Isaiah 51:11 says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. There's that singing again. Unto Zion. It's going to say, sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Oh, God has a plan for us. And this is a place that we could all enjoy. What do you mean? We could all enjoy because of who God is. You understand that the sinner can't go to this place. We said, well, wait a second, preacher. I'm a sinner. What is a sin? A sin is anything we've done against God. The Bible says in His 10 commandments, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Do you know if you've ever disobeyed your folks, you're a sinner? If you've ever told a lie, you are a sinner. You said, well, this isn't good news. It gets worse. That because you're a sinner, you deserve to be separated from God from all eternity. And when we die, there's only two places to go. A wonderful place called heaven or an awful place called hell. Because we're sinners and there's none righteous, no, not one. I may shock you, but I'm a preacher, but I've disobeyed my folks. I'm a preacher and I've told lies. I deserve to go to that awful place called hell. I deserve to be separated from God. But here's the good news. God didn't want me to go to that place. He wanted me to be with Him. So God robed Himself in flesh and dwelt among us. As the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus went through the same temptations, the same troubles, the same heartbreaks. Then Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and to pay for mine. He died on a cross to pay for that price, was buried on a borrowed tomb, and on the third day He rose again. That's why we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday next week. Because of our great hope that Jesus rose again. It is finished. He has paid the price. And all I have to do is receive that gift to myself. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes me and that includes you, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made me a promise that even though I'm a sinner, He paid my debt for me. And all I have to do is believe, to trust, to faith in Him. And He promised, and He can't lie, that He would forgive me of my sins. And part of that promise includes Him taking me to the millennial kingdom. For 1,000 years, I get to be with Him. Remember, the millennial kingdom starts off with no lost people. Everyone that's there is either saved or have a brand new redeemed body. Isn't that wonderful? And it's going to be a wonderful place of holiness because we get to be with our God and we get to serve our God and we get to be with Him. And that the Bible's clear that sin is going to be taken care of immediately. Crime is going to be taken care of immediately. It's going to be a place of perfect peace and a perfect government because we have a wonderful God that's there. Oh, we're thankful for it. In fact, notice as it goes on, verse number 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. That's us. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. That's us. And shall come with Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, what a wonderful thing we get to look forward to in our future. But may I remind you that even though that's future, we can enjoy those benefits today, that we could trust God's promises today, and we can have rejoicing and singing today, not because everything is great, but because God is great. And because God still wants to take care of us and He wants to lead us. Let me tell you that it is worth it to praise God, that you may have that tongue of the dumb. Where you said, well, I can't sing well and no one wants to hear me. God wants to hear you sing. Amen. You may annoy the next door neighbor next to you, but it won't annoy God. God says, this is wonderful. Get some practice in. We could practice being rejoicing. We could practice not being grumpy. We could practice depending upon God. We don't have to wait till the millennial kingdom. We could have the joy that God desires for us to have now. Isn't that a wonderful thing to look forward to? You see, this is a message to be encouraging, a message of hope, a message to remind you that we have some great things still ahead because we have a great God. But maybe perchance there's someone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. May I say that there's no better time to get that handled than right now. If you don't know Jesus, your Savior, it'd be my privilege to take the Bible or have someone take the Bible and to show you from the Bible how you can know without a doubt from God's Word these promises that God has offered to you. For those of you who are saved, let me tell you, the greatest days are still ahead. Oh, I'm looking forward to a day where I don't feel pain. I'm looking for a day where I don't hurt anymore. But we have a great God that we could trust, who could give us grace day by day, and that we could still have peace and we could still have joy despite what we're going through because of the great God we have. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace, give us mercy, give us understanding. Help us, Lord, people to be joyful people, looking up to you, seeing what a great God that you have, and putting our dependence and hope upon you. We know that when we look at ourselves, we could get disappointed. We could get discouraged looking at our failures, looking how our body fails us, looking at our mind. But we can look up to you and realize that you're greater than that. And we can trust you. Lord, thank you for your hope that you provide for us and the grace that you supply. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.